Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Never mind. Right, I'm Karen, I'm an addict. Right, and I've got no idea what I'm going to talk about. Probably some sort of experience, strength and hope. Okay, so I'm not going to dwell too much on the experience because it wasn't always bad, but by the end, it was soul-destroying and it was horrible and lonely, painful, and seemingly insurmountable. I didn't believe I'd ever get out of it. I didn't believe I'd ever want to get out of it, really. I wanted the pain of it to stop. I wanted to stop hurting people, family, friends, you know, myself. But I didn't think drugs were the problem. I thought they were the answer to the problem, and the problem seemed to be me without any drugs. And, you know, for any period of time, it would just be like holding my breath. And it would just get more and more, you know, the compulsion to do it would just grow and grow and grow. And I felt like when I did give into it and when I did use, I would breathe again. And then it would start it all off again. And then when I came to meetings, I came to my first meeting, and I'm going to really try not to swear. I came to my first meeting and I thought they're all nutters. There's just, what is going on here? Like, I don't know what I expected. I think I thought that it was going to be like some sort of treatment centre, or I just had visions of people rolling around on the floor, withdrawing and climbing the walls. I don't know what I thought. And I walked in and everyone seemed quite happy and they looked quite healthy. And instantly I thought, well, I don't belong here because I'm none of those things. And then I started judging people, and I didn't believe they were actually really addicts. And I thought maybe they were just part-time drama queens. Or I don't know what I thought. I just thought, you don't look how I feel. You don't sound how I feel. You laugh at things when people are talking about, like when the chair, if I ever heard the first chair, which I didn't. And yeah. But I went back again. I was actually taken back again. And somewhere along the line, people just seemed to care about me, and that was unusual. People hugged me at the door. I kept putting out my hand and getting sort of rugby tackled and feeling really, really self-conscious. And I didn't, even though I speak English, like I've done it for a long time now, I didn't know what anyone was talking about. And when people spoke about self-obsession, I thought self-obsession was, how do I say it about swearing, was loving yourself too much, being a bit stuck up, and I didn't love myself, and so I thought, well, I'm not self-obsessed. And they spoke about insanity, and I didn't feel insane. I just felt, I felt different. And I knew that whenever I wasn't using, at the end, there was nothing really to live for. I didn't see any, hope for myself, and I secretly believed for a long time that it would work. It may work, you know. Even when I genuinely believed that other people had the, suffered with the same thing that I did, I thought still it might work for you, but deep down I knew it would never work for me, and I would die, a using heroin addict. And and that was it for me. And I don't know the day it changed. I know I walked into a meeting sometime after. I went to a lot of meetings while I was using, and I would, sometimes I would use in the toilet. Sometimes I couldn't seem to get an hour and a half even. And one day I went in, and the guy doing the chair was someone that I knew really well. And for the first time, because everybody who I knew, who I grew up with, and, people I met along the way, I didn't ever see them clean. I thought being clean was a myth, really. I thought that if you used the way I did, or those people did, that you either went to prison, you went to psychiatric wards, or you died. And that all happened around me. Or you went to treatment and then either never came back, and I just assumed that they were using somewhere else, or they came back after about 20 minutes without even unpacked, having been thrown out. So, yeah, I thought it was all a myth. And this guy who was doing the chair, he was 4.5 years clean, and I just assumed he was dead as well, or in prison, or, and he wasn't. And for the first time, I remember thinking, oh, it's true then, because I'd seen it with my own eyes, and I'm the sort of person who, I can hear stuff and I can understand it, but when I see it, And when I have faith in it and when I believe it, then things are easier for me to take in and it's possible. And I'd like to say from that day I never used again. That's not true. I just believed now that it was possible. And I carried on going to meetings. And I didn't feel judged, even though I was judging all the time, all constantly judging people because they seemed better than me, they were worse than me, they were different to me, they didn't speak the same as me, they didn't use the same drugs as me. Anything I could do to somehow make myself separate and unique and different, I did that. And I don't think I did it on purpose, I think I did it as like a defence mechanism. But people told me to keep coming back and I couldn't work it out. I was thinking, why'd they want me around? Like, you know, why? I'm just clearly a mess. And but I carried on going and I stayed clean. I stayed clean for a little while and I was in and out of treatment. And I never really, even though I did step one, I really did it, and I did it thoroughly. I kind of beat myself up quite a bit in it, but I still, for a long time, I didn't really know what it was that being an addict. When I said, my name's Karen, I'm an addict, you know, I first thought I was an addict because I had a drug habit, and then it was kind of explained to me that the drugs are really not the problem. The problem's inside me. I've got a spiritual condition, and I am powerless over that condition. I can't, you know, I can't connect myself to God or my higher power with all the stuff that goes on in my head, with the fear, with the anger, the resentment, the dishonesty that goes along with not being a drug addict, with being me, you know. And it was, even when people spoke to me firstly about fear, I remember thinking, but I'm not scared. That was one thing that, apart from, like it says in the book, when I was alone and desperate and nothing, no drugs and nothing to distract me, then I would feel fear. But mainly I was angry or disbelieving or just judging myself constantly, that I'd failed as a mother, I'd failed as a woman, I'd failed as a human being, I'd failed as a drug taker, because that surrender was like, I couldn't see how admitting that it had beaten me was going to somehow be a solution. So I learned about the compulsion, I learned about the obsession, but the most important thing for me was the internal condition. And I now see that can, for me, I can use anything to fix those feelings that go on. It took me, you know, I came into meetings and I heard about God and I did a bit more judging because I was quite good at it, and I was really trying not to swear. I thought, I can't tell you what I thought, but I thought, no thanks, not for me. I've prayed loads of times and look at the state of me. Like, it was all about me. It's just really, now look back, I mean, it's still all about me if I don't check myself, but yeah, it really was boring. And someone said to me, well, are you willing to believe that I believe? And I said, well, yeah, you sound like you do, you know, you look like you do. Something's going on for you, something works. And that was enough for me at that time. And I went through the steps, and I'd been resistant to the steps. I had judged the steps. I did a lot of judging, a lot of thinking, And I looked at the steps in those early meetings, and I just thought, oh, still not swearing. I thought, no, thank you. I thought, I just thought, you know, I've got real problems. I don't know what you people are all going on about. I've got proper problems going on, and clearly this just doing a bit of writing is not going to fix the state of my life and what is going on, because I was in trouble. I was in trouble physically, within society. Most of all, I was in trouble with myself, and I went through the steps. And it's one of the best things I ever did. And I wasn't judged. I judged myself a lot while I was doing it, but I wasn't judged. And, you know, with my step four, I remember writing it out and just cringing, just dying inside, thinking that, and it says, you know, you do step four as if there's no step five. And I was thinking, yeah, all right. Whatever, I'm going to have to tell someone this. Like, and even in step five, when I was reading it out, I was scanning down the page going, oh my God, I'm going to have to tell someone this. And my sponsor was like, oh, you and all, yeah, yeah. you know, and I couldn't believe that, I really thought I was so much worse, and I didn't deserve to be clean, and I didn't deserve to be happy, and I stayed clean, and really 12 little suggestions, because for me, for a long time, I just wrote the steps in the book, polished the book a bit, put it under the bed, read them out, put it under the bed, and then just cracked on with my life. I was, you know, my thinking was still the same, and I had those ideas intellectually, but I went through the steps again, and I realised that I have to actually do them, like not just write them down. You know, I can get along without doing them, but I can be clean, but I can't be sane. I can't be loving. I can't, you know, because I'm so self-obsessed and I'm so selfish and self-centred and fearful. You know, when I grew up, if someone would have said to me, "You're scared," that would have been the start of a fight. That would have been an insult. That would have been a judgment that I would. Yeah, but I see, and I only ever see things in retrospect. That fear is the root of all my defects. That through fear, I get blocked off from God. I get blocked off from sanity. I get angry because how dare you scare me? I don't even think this stuff. I just feel threatened. And I get angry, and when I'm angry, my thinking is not my own, and I start quietly plotting murders, and you know, and really visualising like some right naughty stuff. Now I think of it, and I know people say it's not normal, but I think that as human beings, a lot of people can, you know, a lot of people have got obsessive brains that tell them misinformation. A lot of people have got, you know, a physical reaction to drugs. A lot of people have got a spiritual malady, but for me, just having those three things at the same time and having them progress to the point where drugs don't fix them anymore, that for me, when I say I'm Karen, I'm an addict, that's what I'm identifying. And it's nice to know that I'll be all right, that no matter what happens, through doing the steps, I've got God in my life, and I don't need to worry, and I don't need to, when I get scared, I don't need to plot ways of getting out of the fear in my head, because there's a plan for my life, and I don't have to know the plan. There's a God in my life. I don't have to understand God. I really don't. I just know that I don't have the power to overcome my condition. I don't have the power. I'm powerless over drugs, but more importantly, I'm powerless over this inside thing, and and in step three, I made a decision to turn my thinking and my actions, my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. I don't need to know how you understand him. I'm interested, but I don't have to understand him how you are, even if you think he's a him. You know, I understand. I have an understanding of God that is mine, and that's all right. And it's all right if I'm not here to tell anyone or judge anyone on how they do it, but I think that just the understanding that the word God just terrified me, because I thought it's more judgment and the things that I've done. Oh my God, I was even talking to him while I was saying that, blaspheming. But yeah, I just thought, oh no, like I can't get involved with God, because then I'm going to have to look at myself and then I'm going to get in trouble, you know, and I'd rather just believe that you die and then that's it. But all of that aside, I came into a meeting expecting to find a bunch of lunatics, and I still do. Hi, how are you? The things that I've got out of being in recovery are more beautiful than anything I ever felt whilst I was using. I had some absolutely amazing times on drugs. I did, actually. That's a full stop. But to be happy and to be free of the relentless just self-absorption, and to not have to act on every little thought that came into my head. I was just off and running. I was doing it already. I never ever stopped to think about anything. I never checked anything out with anyone else. Why would I grass myself up to someone? Why would I tell people? You know, I just couldn't see it. And the fellowship and the people in it have loved me more than I ever loved myself when I came in, and I'm able to help other people, and that is one of the joys of recovery for me, to see people come into meetings broken, and to see them grow, and to see the light come back on in them. And whenever I take someone through the steps, I think I learn more than when I did my own steps. And I didn't expect to find friends in meetings. I didn't expect to find anything really. I didn't even expect a solution. I just expected to sit on a plastic chair and just fucking just judge everyone. And yeah, so what I'd like to say is that I'm so grateful to the person who brought me to my first meeting. I'm grateful to all of you, actually, even the people I haven't met. That the fact is that I can go to meetings anywhere, literally, and be welcomed. And, you know, I judge myself more than anyone judges me. And, you know, and I think that's part of the way I look at myself, or I can do. And I can be just, you know, if I don't treat this inside stuff that I've got, if I don't treat it every day with 12 little suggestions, and the stuff that I've learned from the book, and the stuff that I've learned by listening to all of you, and the stuff that I've learned from my sponsor and my last sponsor, then I can be just as untreated as the day when I walked in. And you know, and I don't take for granted the fact that you know, I'd like to say I'd never do that again, but I don't know how I'll feel in 10 minutes, let alone tomorrow. And one of the best things that I ever came to realise was that just for today, you know, when the first person said to me, just for today, I really thought I had to put off using every day, one day at a time, for the rest of my natural born life. And that just seemed like such a long time at that moment. And just be in, you know, just have those feelings that I always had when I didn't use. And I can't tell you what they said to me because there's swearing involved again, but I came to realise that the only time I can do anything is right now. The only time, you know, I wake up tomorrow and it's today again. And I don't even have to worry about today because there's a God and I don't have to know what's going to happen. But I know that I can focus on the day, and I can focus on how I can help other people, and getting out of myself is, getting out of my head was always my aim, but getting out of myself is, it's just, for me, is an absolutely surefire way of not feeling what I'm feeling, and from feeling quite good about it. And I'm grateful to be in recovery, and I'm going to shut up right now. Thank you.